views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from KKNW AM 1150 radio here in Seattle. You might be listening on the East Coast in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York on WBLQ 1230 AM radio, on one of the 35 stations in Australia, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. And if you're not joining us live, you might be listening from anywhere around the world, and I think I've counted like 95 countries to date on ChristineUpchurch.com in the archives. But wherever and whenever you're listening from today, I'm so grateful you're joining us here today. We're going to have a fabulous show. And before we get started, I want to share with you about an upcoming event. I'm finally getting with the technological program, and I'm about to begin to do Facebook Live. And the impetus has been a very tragic event that I've been asked to weigh in on and offer some meditation about. Justin Damon, she was a colleague. She was a spiritual teacher from Australia. She was living in the United States, and she was shot and killed by police in a really bizarre situation where she had called because she heard somebody being attacked, and she approached the car, and somehow she ended up getting shot and killed. But it's created not only terrible grief for those who knew her, but grief within the community, the spiritual community, those people who were at her meetings week in, week out, when she taught quantum mechanics and taught Dr. Joe Dispenza's work, and she was doing meditations every week for people and in that community. But also, I've got people, friends and colleagues from all over the world who have, who knew her. And so in a sense, she and I were colleagues. And in fact, I think at a conference, we kind of like passed each other in the hallway. But in any event, it's created a sort of disillusionment for people because we're at this time when we are working hard to create positive, lasting change in our world globally. Many of us, and I know many of you who are listening, feel this way. We know that as individuals in our lives, that vibrationally we can affect the entire world. And sometimes, some of us are moving forward and to try to like be more active globally in creating positive change. And it can be really frustrating when we are here on a mission, so to speak, when these sorts of things happen, like how can this happen? So on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern time, I will be part of a live event that's on Facebook called Change. It's going to be on my personal page. I will be doing a Facebook live event where I will be sharing some insights I have about what's going on in our world and how this darkness that we seem to be interacting with, that there are new dark things appearing, that it happens to be related to the light we're bringing to the world, and how we, as people who care about the state of the world, can proceed and how we can energetically contribute. And then I'll also be offering a guided meditation. So please join me on my personal page, Christine Upchurch, on Facebook. And you can, listen to it after the fact or during it, or just join us. There are other people in the event as well. You can join one of them or just meditate on your own. But it's really a meditation and an experience to shift the world. It's a coming together to help create a more peaceful, loving world. So I'm hoping that you join me.
Well said there, Christine. Just a heads up, our guest, Dr. Farmer, is currently finishing up with some late traffic, and so that's okay. Why we're delaying. Just a hint, just to let you know.
All right, great. Well, you know, Benny, what I'd love to do is I would love to hear from listeners. I don't get enough time to chat with our listeners. And, you know, since I will be talking about how we can show up more fully in our lives and in this world to change it, I wanted to know if any of you have questions about that or want to suggest possible topics with that. So what's the number, Benny?
Sure, we can give it out. It's let's go with 800-930-2819, 800-930-2819.
Yeah, that's great. And you know, it's funny because I know that I've mentioned this before on the show, but, you know, we're in this age of getting connected via the internet, connected with cellular phones, and we're so well informed. And in many ways, the world is a far better place in general than it once was. There are areas where it's far less violent. And yet there are things getting illuminated on both the local level, national and international levels that feel new, that seem new, that are deeply disturbing. And I tell you that my perspective on it is this. Many of us are bringing more light to the world. We've shown up in our lives, in our own brightness, in our own various ways, to bring more light to the planet at this time of shifting. And so, basically, as we're shining more and more light, what's happening is we are illuminating what's in the shadows. And so it's kind of like if you had nightlights on in the kitchen and you're walking in the kitchen and you think everything's fine, right? But if you turned on the overhead lights, suddenly you realize there are roaches running around. The roaches were there before, but you didn't see them until the lights were on. So, you know, although it can be very devastating to see some of the horrors in the world, to feel and touch that pain that's deep within us, that collective pain that we have, it actually, part of it is we're actually seeing it because of the light we're bringing to the world.
We've tracked him down. We've got Dr. Farmer.
Oh, how wonderful.
Perfect timing,
right? I'm so grateful for that. I know all about traffic. And yes, our guest today, Benny, I'm so excited because this guest we have on today, one of his books is on my bookshelf that I reach for on a weekly basis. And so I'm grateful he's here joining us today. Dr. Stephen Farmer is his name. And today we're going to be talking about how our genetic and soul's coding together create strong influences that create some patterns in our lives and how we can help to clear those. Stephen Farmer is a world-renowned author. He's a teacher, shamanic practitioner, and a soul healer. He's the author of numerous best-selling books, including Earth Magic Oracle Cards, Animal Spirit Guides, Sacred Ceremony, Power Animal Oracle Cards, and many, many more. And his more recent book is Healing Ancestral Karma, Free Yourself from Unhealthy Family Patterns. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Dr. Stephen Farmer. Hi, Stephen.
Well, hi, Christine. Thanks for having me on the show, and thanks for your patience, too. I had an appointment this morning away from my home office and got snagged in the traffic, so sorry about that.
That's quite all right. And you know, Stephen, it's funny because I've got an event coming up on Tuesday, and I wanted to make sure that I had a little time to talk about it, and it just gave me a little bit more time and space to deal with it. So it worked out perfectly. You know, of course, I want to keep you on for an extra hour, but I can't do that since. But anyway, you know, I'm fascinated by your history because you were a successful psychotherapist for many years, and then you shifted your life. You retired and put your focus on becoming a shamanic practitioner. And I'm kind of curious how you made that transformation and why.
That's a really good question. As you said, I had a pretty successful practice as a therapist. I'm not sure I really retired. I certainly changed careers, I guess you would say, or changed my work to some degree, and probably to a considerable degree. I was introduced to shamanism, as many people were, through the Foundation for Shamanic Studies, which is still headed by Michael Harner and his wife, Sandra Harner. Michael was down in the jungles of the Amazon way before it became popular, as it is these days.
Right.
And he joined in shamanic ceremonies, and he came back to the States. And I guess at some point, I don't know the crossover when he said, I'm going to teach everybody this stuff. This is great stuff because it's what our ancestors knew.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I was introduced through that with the two-day course, and I had sampled various spiritual philosophies and such, and, you know, really, really getting a ground in my spirituality. And when I came to do this two-day course, I just remember leaving there, and I was on fire. You know, this is it. This is my next step. This
right.
is the next era.
Yeah.
So I was grabbing at whatever I could in ways of training. I even approached Michael and I said, can I do the 3-year program? I'm ready to go. This is right after a 2-day workshop.
Right.
And he said, oh, go to Esalen for a couple of weeks, you know, and we'll do that one and then some other stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I gathered, I took training in Tibetan shamanism, Celtic shamanism, Huna, which is Hawaiian shamanism.
Okay.
Dear friend and colleague of mine, Jade Grigori, has been a practicing shaman for a number of years. So I did ceremonies with him in private sessions. I just did so much in the way of training. And I just knew this is what my next step was. Now, I was still a therapist at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't really do a crossover with that, Christine, because of the illegalities or the legalities, I must say.
Right.
I had to be just really careful with that. But I found I could bring elements of shamanic work into the practice, depending on the client or the group. I had a couple of groups going. There was one men's group that just took to the, you know, doing ceremony in the group, and that really worked with me on that. I worked with them on that. Anyway, so it just gradually evolved to where I decided at some point to forego my practice, to retire it. I guess I'd say I'd retired my practice more than I retired.
Right. All right.
And,
yes.
You know, went into shamanism full time and started writing books, the first book in this genre. I have some books as a therapist, one of which, by the way, is still selling after 25 years. I just reissued it.
That's great. What's its title?
Adult Children of Abusive Parents.
Okay.
And it was the first sort of a primer, if you will, or those in the beginning stages of exploring some of the trauma.
Right.
I frankly, I must be honest with you, I would change the title now. It sounds a little bit, you know, finger pointing, but, you know, it catches people's attention.
Yes.
Anyway, so I reissued it. I added some things here and there. Anyway, and then I started writing, and this idea hit me that I could write about certain elements of shamanism without even referring to it as shamanism.
Mm-hmm.
And my very first book in that genre, Christine, was Sacred Ceremony. In all modesty aside, I think it's a pretty darn really good book because it doesn't give formulas. You know, it's not about rituals and formulaic kind of things. It gives suggestions, ideas, and what I attempt to do is try to capture the main elements in any kind of sacred ceremony and distinguish it from sacred rituals. Anyway, went on from there, and as you mentioned, a few of the books and products that I put out. One of the more recent books is Healing Ancestral Karma, as you noted, and that was a really, it was a labor of love, I'll tell you that, because in spite of my work with shamanism for many years, and it's been, gosh, well over 25 years now, up till maybe a few years ago, I really didn't consider ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in my consciousness, in
right.
my work, and it was never really brought in very, very strongly. You know, Jade would call on ancestors. We'd do a ceremony. I gradually kind of seeped into my consciousness. And I went, whoa, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our ancestors,
yes.
always, and I'm talking about our long ago ancestors, always included their ancestors in their ceremony.
Right, right. And, you know, I'm really curious about this because, you know, for a long time I thought, well, really what's important to me on my soul's mission on, you know, my journey here as soul in human form were my past lives and perhaps future lives, if everything's happening simultaneously. And yet I'm beginning to feel after reading your book that I need to look more into my ancestral karma and perhaps clearing that out and learning more about that. We have to go to a quick break, but more with Dr. Stephen Farmer here in just a few moments. Myself. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
The goal for the Art of Powerful Living Radio is to inspire every human to live lives that are rich, fulfilling, on purpose, and fun. This hit show with Robert Schoenfeld is a fresh approach to boldly living our lives with creativity, courage, patience, wisdom, love, and power. Join Robert every month with Dr. Pat Basile for the Art of Powerful Living Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836. Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Dr. Stephen Farmer, author of Healing Ancestral Karma. Now, before the break, Stephen, I was talking about how I've always had this perspective that really it's, you know, okay, I'm as a soul, I'm kind of planted into this family, and maybe I chose it. I expect I did. But really what's important to me is my soul's path in terms of my other lives, so to speak. And what you're talking about is our familial ancestors are important too. Why is that?
Well, the familial, it's this whole fairly new science of epigenetics that's just absolutely fascinating. And it's being researched quite extensively these days and has been and will continue to be researched. Epi means above and beyond the usual idea of what we have with genetics. One thing is the DNA that you get, your color, your eyes, your height, your structures of your face and your body, et cetera, that's pretty well set. But it's the expression through the genes that can be modified. And the two most important ways that these the genetic expression or the genes are modified are toxicities and trauma.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I think there's more and more interested in trauma, both the studying it from a psychological, emotional, psycho-spiritual view, as well as a shamanic view.
Mm-hmm. So give us an example of what kind of trauma could get passed down.
Well, for instance, Rachel Yehuda, I think is her name, she's a researcher in Israel, and she's done a lot of study with survivors of the Holocaust as well as their children and grandchildren.
Uh-huh.
And she found an extraordinary amount of depression and anxiety beyond the norm in the children and the grandchildren of Holocaust survivors. So what happens with trauma, you could say a way to describe it is that certain genes or the expression of certain genes sort of gets capped off, and so that they don't express anymore. And so then these are passed on along with the DNA. They're passed along so that the children of Holocaust survivors and the grandchildren will have a greater tendency towards depression and anxiety. One example I read about was fascinating: is the mothers who were pregnant at the time and were in New York at the time of 9/11 when the towers fell.
Uh-huh.
You know, speaking of trauma,
right?
They had their babies had a lot of difficulty. They were fussy. They experienced a great deal of anxiety, and then as they grew as children, depression. Now, that's sort of the grim news, if you will, is that that can be passed on. And,
right.
of course, what the book's about, and your work, for instance, as well as the work of many others, is how do we heal this?
Yes.
You know, what do we do to shift the genetic expression?
Right.
And
so, but what I find so fascinating, it's not just about the environment in which we were raised, or even some of
right.
the behavioral patterns that were passed down. It goes deeper than that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. You know, the only exception to that is it does have something to do with the environment, but it's not, you know, we say it's nature nurture. I remember that old argument years ago. You know, it's both, of course, in that if you grew up in a, you know, really bad childhood, you know, with abuse and stuff like that, then you will find that your genetic expression will be modified as a result. Again, trauma. Especially at a very, very such a vulnerable period in our lives, childhood,
right?
When we're subject to those kind of influences,
of course, yeah.
So you know, the good news is we can heal that. There's a number of ways, both spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, etc. Mm-hmm. There's just an amazing number of opportunities for us to heal from those capped genes, the ones that are capped, so that we can uncap them to allow a greater expression of the authentic self to come through.
Right.
So that's sort of the gist of it is hey, here's the bad news, here's the good news.
Right.
You know, if you were traumatized as a child, then you know, we probably all carry some of that woundedness to degree or another.
Yeah.
Then the good news is, gosh, there's tons of possibilities for healing that once you get really committed to it. And I know myself, as I understand about you, Christine, is, you know, once you get committed to your healing, there's all sorts of processes, opportunities, support, et cetera, that you can get for your healing.
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes it magically unfolds. And perhaps for some people who are listening today, this is one of those steps.
Yeah. You know, for instance, one of the things I set out to do in Healing Ancestral Karma, the book, is to set out, shall we say, evidence or even proof of the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm talking to you, I'm preaching to the choir, of course.
Yes, exactly.
You know, that something goes on, you know, call it the soul or whatever it may be. But also an interesting piece that in my research over the past several years that led me to writing this book was that, I've interviewed several mediums, psychic mediums, and they all agree with this, is that, you know, when you die, you're not done.
Uh-huh.
I found that to be quite astounding.
Yeah.
It's like, well, don't you kind of get to drift around in some etheric plane or some, you know, for a while, something like that. But also in my shamanic work, I was given a interesting structure about the afterlife itself, you know, going through, you might say, levels or, how would I put it? You go through like a learning stages in each of these stages, if you will.
And from what I understand, some who have killed themselves are actually surprised that they have to get to the other side and continue the process.
Yeah. There was one guy, I remember, I read his book. It was very interesting. He had this vision of, going around this arena where a number of people who had committed suicide, their souls were trailing after the ones that were wounded and hurt by the suicide.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going around begging their forgiveness,
right,
you know, from the afterlife. Yeah. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, it's just that we can, the good news too is that when we do our work, as Hollister Rand, who's a fairly famous psychic medium, at least in this area in Southern California, uh-huh. Hollister Rand said, yeah, the healing goes forward and backward.
I went,
wow, that's interesting.
It's fascinating, yes.
It goes to our children, goes to our grandchildren, and on through generations.
Sure.
You know, if I clean up something now, then my children benefit and my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
But also, and this is the interesting thing, Christine, is my ancestors, particularly the biological ancestors
uh-huh.
that are still going through this process of transition and doing their healing work in the soul world. It's just fascinating.
Yeah, that is. And I know that there's some people who believe that everything's happening simultaneously and time is just an illusion for those of us while we're in human form. And so in that sense, it makes, you know, perfect sense. However, it's a little mind-boggling. So
yeah, if I may, just one comment about that. What was presented to me some time ago is that there's, in a sense, two realities. There's the physical reality that we deal with, you know, this world that many times appears to be the only reality.
Right.
But then there's the soul's reality. And sometimes that can only be captured through metaphors and stories. And I don't mean made up fantasy stories, but we speak of things like ancestral healing, being able to heal the ancestors as we heal ourselves
uh-huh.
and heal coming generations, seeing getting messages and guidance, you know, from spirit guides.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's the soul's reality. I like that way of characterizing it. And as Jade, one of my teachers, he said, it's just as real as this physical reality that we deal with.
Uh-huh. That makes sense to me. So how do you define ancestral karma?
Yeah, karma is kind of a catchword. You know, karma in its original meaning really meant we go from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime to lifetime and, you know, hopefully clean up, you know, each lifetime we lead a good life, then we get to move on to a more advanced lifetime uh-huh. until eventually our karma is all cleaned up. That's the original meaning.
Right.
But I've extrapolated from that that there's something that follows us that is a, shall we say, I don't want to say a gift from our ancestors, because there's gifts too, certainly.
Sure.
But there's legacies that we have to deal with. You know, if my grandfather was abused, my mother was severely abused, I know that.
Uh-huh.
It comes to me that, okay, I have some of those same kind of characteristics. I used to have a propensity towards depression, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and not anxiety so much, depression. So, you know, I spent a lot of time in my earlier years just contending with it, you know, trying to deal with it, trying to, you know, it's like saying to somebody who's depressed, well, just cheer up. You know, it wasn't that
yeah,
easy.
Really.
But I was also very, very compelled to heal myself. You know, sometimes, as is true in your story, sometimes, you know, God gets us on the ground, puts our arm behind our back and says, okay, sucker, you ready? you got some work to do, dude.
And we can't battle God very well, can we?
No, I said, okay, I give. Tell me what to do. And I believe that whether I've been conscious of it or not in the earlier part of my life, I really believe it was guided.
Mm-hmm.
I was prompted to, through a divorce, to start attending a Church of Religious Science,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then I sampled some other spiritual paths. And I pretty much turned away from God when I was about 7 years old.
Uh-huh.
The little girl next door that I played with died of leukemia.
Oh.
And I prayed so hard to God that she wouldn't die, and she died.
Right.
And as I say that to you, Christine, right now, I still feel that sadness.
Right.
And
yeah.
I was so angry after praying so hard that I said, okay, I in my 7-year-old mind, it was like, okay, God, I'm done with you.
Right.
So I had to really kind of be reintroduced, not kind, I had to be sort of reintroduced, and sometimes dragged, kicking and screaming,
yeah.
you know, to really reconcile my spirituality with my physical existence.
We have to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more.
Hi there. My name is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio and a spiritual growth coach. I talk about this all the time on my show, listening to your body and acting on intuition. What do these things even mean? Here's the thing. About 10 years ago, I figured out I was doing it all wrong. I mean, I wasn't unhappy, but was I really happy? And then life sent me a spiritual smackdown, like it does, because I wasn't listening to my best resource, my body and my intuition. I was living from a place of fear. I was stressed and I was in pain, and I seemed to be happily unhappy. Mostly, I just didn't know what I didn't know. And what I didn't know was that my body and my intuition had all the tools I needed to live life as my best self. I'm sharing the tools I have learned over the last 10 years of my healing journey in my online class, Soul Awakening, beginning September 19th. Learn more. Go to audreymichelle.com/awaken. That's Audrey Michelle, spelled michelle.com/awaken.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelm and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath. To signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is, sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Dr. Stephen Farmer. And as I said before, I access one of his books on a weekly basis, Animal Spirit Guides. And we're talking about healing ancestral karma. Free yourself from unhealthy family patterns. Okay, so you've talked a little bit about, you know, why it's important for us to sort of look at this karma. How do we go about kind of connecting? Some of us don't even know who like our great grandparents were.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, there's a couple of ways that come to mind immediately, Christine. One is I would call it intergenerational healing, and I'll describe it as briefly as possible. It's basically you go into a light altered state through meditation, through the breath, etc., and you think of a condition for which you seek healing. And that could be an emotional condition, it could be a physical condition, it could be a spiritual condition, if there is such a thing, but whatever that condition is, you identify it as specifically as possible. And then through a slow process, what you do is you bring in your spirit guides, whoever they may be.
Mm-hmm.
I spirit animals, like you mentioned, my book, Animal Spirit Guides, of course, you know, call in spirit animals, one to sit on your right, one to sit on your left.
Uh-huh.
I like calling in Archangel Michael,
Right. I love Archangel Michael. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's the dude, man. In fact, interestingly enough, I saw this. I thought, I wonder if this has to do with the show when I was driving here. A taxi company that was 444-4444.
Love it.
How could you not? I went, okay, thank you, Michael. You know, you're with me. Okay, got it. Because four being, as you know, the number for the archangels, and specifically for me, it tends to be Archangel Michael. Anyway, you call in Archangel Michael behind you, and then you begin to set this up by first imagining or seeing, sensing in some way your parents in front of you, maybe sitting in chairs, maybe a few feet away, and then you see their parents in the second row, and then grandparents, and then your great grandparents in the third row. And you mentioned, most people don't even know their great grandparents. You don't need to. That's the beauty of this. Okay. You know, once you're in this mild altered state, the spirit world is more accessible. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's done meditation, shamanic journeys, etc., it's right here all the time. It's just we need to learn how to access it.
Right.
So you see or sense, and I say see or sense because not all people are highly visual. You may just sense your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents. So now, here we go. Now we go to work, okay? What you do is you ask spirit or God, whatever name you want to give that, spirit or God works for me, to identify the ancestor amongst these three previous generations, your biological ancestors. Who else carried this same condition for which you seek healing? Ooh. Let's say I've had continual stomach problems, you know, indigestion, et cetera, just a lot of problems with the ulcers or whatever it may be. And I say, well, let me give this a try. Uh-huh. So I ask spirit to identify my ancestor that carries that same condition, the strongest, you know, maybe there's three or four, but the one that carries it the most, the strongest.
Right.
And then, and this is the cool part. Once it's set up, that ancestor then will be identified in some way.
Uh-huh.
It may be a great grandparent. You can't really see them because you don't have a visual on them, but they stand up or a light shines on them or in some way, or you just have that cognitive, you just have that knowing, the claircognizance. You just have that knowing that this is the great grandfather that carried it. So, okay, we clear out the rest. You know, thank you guys for showing up. You know, they sort of dissipate back into spirit world, and great grandpa comes forward. And now you're facing him and across time and space. What you do is you ask Archangel Michael to bring healing, light, and love from the celestial realm down into your body, into your soul body and your physical body. And the way I visualize it, Christine, is I see him sort of cup his hands over your crown and fill you with this continual love and light, you know, really powerful. And when you feel ready, then you lift your hands, palms forward, because the hands and the palms particularly, as you well know, that's a really hot spot, if you will, for sending love, sending light, sending energy in some way. So what you do then is you become a channel or a conduit for this love and light. You send it to grandpa, great-grandpa, and you just allow it to do what it's going to do. You may see it, you may sense it, you may feel it in some way or just know that it's happening. But what happens is that he, in spirit world, across in the afterlife, he absorbs this so that now that healing love and light goes directly to what you had set up as your request and your intention to heal his stomach problems. And then, this is the cool part too, is at some point you relax when it feels complete, and he sends the now healed condition across that channel of love and light back to you, and you simply become receptive and absorb it.
Yeah.
And now, finally, once that's complete, you turn around now, and you thank great grandpa, of course, and all the spirit allies that are helping you, including Michael. Now you turn and you again lift your hands and you send it to your offspring, your children, you're now sending it not only to your children, but they're going to pass the corrected genes on to their children and their children and their children, et cetera.
Wow.
A lot of people, well, what if you don't have any kids? Well, okay, send it to the people you love. You know, send good energy to the people you love. It's not necessarily the healed condition.
Sure.
So
sure.
that's in a nutshell. It's about a 20 to 30 minute process. Mm-hmm. So I've given you kind of the sketch of it.
Right.
But I've had some feedback that I think is pretty amazing. One story that's in the book, Healing Ancestral Karma, and that I always love to tell, because she wrote me right after one of my first workshops where I ran this exercise amongst others. And she wrote me an email and said, I had this most interesting dream after the workshop.
Mm-hmm.
I was walking through the woods and I noticed there was a fire ahead and it looked like some men in a circle around the fire. So as I walked closer, just a few feet away, I noticed that the man whose back was turned to me was my grandfather, who I'd worked with in the workshop.
Uh-huh.
And he turned around to me and said to me, in the dream, he said, "Thank you. Mm. I can now sit in circle."
Oh, wow.
And when I first heard that, I went, okay, because this was like the second workshop I did or something.
Uh-huh.
And it really validated this in so many different ways. And since then, I've heard other stories like that of that kind of healing that takes place.
Right.
Anyway, that gives you some idea of the exercise. That's one that you could do.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's described in very much detail in my book. So, yeah.
And one of the things I find so fascinating about that as a healer is that, you know, I think that when we are working to heal ourselves, we end up having a lot of attachment, which gets in the way. But what you were talking about is sending the healing to an ancestor, and we have less attachment about that sort of thing. And so that, of course, affected them on whatever vibrational level. And then receiving it back from them, it's like it's come from ourselves through the help of Archangel mm-hmm. Michael, but it mm-hmm. wasn't direct, which probably made it easier for us to receive, would make it easier,
easier for us to receive. That's a really good point. You know, it's like you're more detached about it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Michael is working with you. You got your other guides that yeah. are nearby to support you, spirit animals or otherwise. And perhaps even some of the old ones, the old ancestors that have gone through, you know, have gone up that ladder, so to speak, and then have come down that ladder, you know, to help us out here.
Yeah.
That's the other thing that's, I think, important to recognize is that we're so such an anomaly in our Western culture that we don't really work with the old ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, Christine, they are working us. They are with us. They're going, yay. I'm working on another type of ancestor product, and I can't tell you how they're cheering me on. They're pushing me too, you know, but they're cheering me on. And it really has inspired me in such a way to have their presence. So we're unique in that way.
Mm-hmm.
The Maoris, a friend of mine, Darlene, who's Maori, I go to New Zealand every so often.
Uh-huh.
And she says, we always start every ceremony. We start by calling in the ancestors.
Yes. It's fascinating how we in Western culture have kind of disconnected from that. We need to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more with Dr. Stephen Farmer.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns in certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nooshin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio, of course. You know, Stephen, this hour is flying by. Before we continue this conversation and run out of time, I want you to share with our listeners how they can connect with you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, the best way to connect is go to my website. It's earthmagic.net, earthmagic.net. Or if you go to drstephenfarmer.com, it'll take you to earthmagic.net. And there's articles, there's a whole bunch of stuff on there that people can look into and sign up for a newsletter, see what my latest events are through a newsletter I send out. Get this, 11 months out of the year. We skip August because everybody's having fun on vacation. So we skip August. Okay, September, we'll get busy again.
Although you and I are working today, aren't we?
I know. Yeah, I don't think I ever really stop. You know,
yeah.
I had the other day, just an aside, where I had a 4-day class I taught, and Monday came, and I went, okay, I got to, and I went, no, relax, enjoy the day.
Right.
And I tell you, my Capricorn sensibility was so offended by that at first.
That's great.
But I did. I had a good day. I was nice, relaxing. I played with my puppy dog, you know, worked out, all this stuff. It was just fun.
That's fabulous.
So I think I'm up against that lately. I can actually just have fun with not being productive. Oh, okay. What a concept.
Well, I find that some of my biggest business advances have happened when I was on vacation. Like, oh, look at that, you know? Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. You know, and I think one other element, I meditate or do a shamanic journey every morning. I like to check in as much as probably 95% of the time that happens. I've been doing that for 4 years. And the other day, one of the pieces that showed up was one of the teachers said, you know, the reason you feel like you want to get things done is we're calling on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take it personally. You know,
right.
Everybody's getting called, whatever the nature of the work is, to just keep going. You know, you don't have to kill yourself, you know, or stress yourself, but just keep things moving because of the situation that's going on with the earth right now.
Yeah.
You know, we're in deep doo-doo right now, and we got to keep making, keep doing our healing work, whatever the nature of that healing work is. It could be with animals. It could be spiritual healing. It could be shamanic work. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And like your story, pretty fascinating. I don't know all the details, but wow, you are definitely caught. You know, They were like saying to you, hey, you can't leave.
Yes,
there's no
exactly.
way you're going to leave. You
right.
know?
And then kicked in the butt to change directions. Yes, like, oh, but you're going the wrong direction. You could stay, but here, let's change your direction here.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah. Boy, that one I understand.
Yeah.
So, really, who, me? Go ahead. Yeah,
exactly. You know, I'm really fascinated by shamanism. I don't know much about it. It's I haven't worked in that realm. And after reading your book and learning more about you, I want to learn more about shamanism. But the connection with the earth, and I'm thinking in terms of the upcoming eclipse. What's your perspective on that?
Well, there's thank you, Christine. Chef, shamanism is, first off, just a quick comment. That's probably the oldest healing system that's existed for humans. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been around, there's been evidence up to 40,000 or more years on every continent, evidence of shamanic work.
Wow.
The word shaman is different in different cultures.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's
sure.
The essence of it is that someone who travels, that's the original meaning. It's the word is from the Tungus area of Siberia. And the task for the shaman really is to mediate the balance between the natural world and the human community. And when mm-hmm. it's out of balance, interestingly enough, there's illness in the human community. That's often the indication to the shaman.
Sure.
Oh, got to do some work here.
Right.
So, you know, we're in a situation now where we do take so much from the natural world. You know, there's so much illness in spite of the fact that longevity is increased, et cetera. There's just, you know, this malaise that people feel.
Sure.
Anyway, I also think, you know, it's the eclipse is fascinating to me. Frankly, I haven't read a lot about the eclipse. I've got like two or three different articles already, and I hear about Lionsgate and mm-hmm. some of the astrological significance, and I encourage listeners to check that out. But I really wanted to kind of discern to myself, you know, well, what's the significance of this particular solar eclipse?
Uh-huh.
And also followed by a lunar eclipse. Right. I guess these eclipses happen all the time, but often they're over the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I get. Because of the era we're in, and the political climate, and the fear that's sort of going through the collective consciousness
right.
on many levels, you know, and it doesn't matter, you know, what's triggering that fear. I think there's a few, I can give you a list, you know, what's probably triggering that fear.
There's plenty.
Our job, I believe, is, you get, yeah, our job as healers is to be able to not take that personally and mm-hmm. certainly not dive into the fear.
Right.
But if you do, bring yourself, or I call it getting back on the horse. You know, if you fall off the horse, get back on the horse. You know, there's a mission to be accomplished. Related to the eclipse, Christine, what's fascinating to me is not that I don't think the eclipse itself directly affects us, other than maybe a tug, you know, because mm-hmm. of the gravitational pull.
Right.
But what I think it touches is something really, really deep and archetypal. This is so, I get chills as I say that because, wow, you imagine our long ago ancestors, suddenly the sun disappears.
Right.
to me, what it represents personally, as well as collectively, is we got to be willing to go into the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be willing to meet it. We have to be willing to go full force into the darkness with our eyes and our hearts open,
right.
and of course with our spirit guides
yes.
right at our side or behind us in some way. Whatever that means, that's the archetypal trigger, I think, that's in our soul right now. And also the rebirth. Ah, the return of the light.
Uh-huh.
What an archetypal, you know, I wish Joseph Campbell were around to
yes.
talk about this, because it really, like I say, it touches something that is so familiar in our soul. How many times have we gone through a death and rebirth and still come out alive?
Right. And one of the things I love yeah. about this analogy is the fact that I think we're going from just dealing with our individual shadow side, our personal darkness, to the collective. And we as a collective mm. need to look into it and meet it face on and have mm. compassion for it and release it. So, yeah, I love this analogy of the eclipse and looking at the darkness.
Well stated, Christine. Well stated. I couldn't have said it better. You know, that's basically what it touches on. I mean, look back, you know, I want the listeners, everybody, just think back on your life. How many times have you gone through this sort of metaphorical death?
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe you've lost everything at one point
uh-huh.
and you had to regenerate. You know, maybe it was a literal death.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's cited in my book. The scientists don't want to call it a death experience.
Uh-huh.
They want to call it near death because of the body, you know, they can't call it death until you're really dead. But, uh-huh. you know, these people died. And come back. I died when I was 6 months old, mm-hmm. came back.
Wow.
I didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to. I remember arguing with the one I met at the gate. And it's a long story. I won't bore you with the whole story, but
yeah, no, and we're just about out of time here. So
yeah, anyway, yeah. Just I argued with him. I said, I don't want to go. Let me out of here. And he just leaned over and said, no, not yet.
Right. And I don't want you to go either, but we have to get off the air for the next show here. Again, everybody, it's drstephenfarmer.com or earthmagic.net. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Oh, you're very welcome, Christine, and anytime. Love to talk with you and your listeners.
I'm sure we've got lots more to talk about, and his latest book is called Healing Ancestral Karma. Thanks for joining us here today. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.